Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast. I don't know if you're all like me, but among friends that I've had for a long time, that there are all these inside jokes that really wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to other people. And I've got this one friend, his name's Rob, and we've got a whole series of inside jokes that we're just constantly kidding with each other and giving each other a hard time. And one of those is that there was a phrase or a saying that he heard that he didn't really like so much. And ever since he told me that, every time I hear it, I record it and send it to him. So whether it's texts or emails, so like little video clips or audio clips, anytime I see it in writing, I'll just like take a picture of it and send it to him. And it's this one. It is what it is. Because I remember at the time he was like, that's the stupidest thing. It doesn't even say anything. It's just kind of repeating something. And I don't know why people say that anyway. So every time I hear that, I just say, it is what it is, you know, and just kind of send it to him. Well, the funny thing about it is I was trying to think about this gospel and the homily for this weekend, and that phrase came to mind. And I was thinking it actually kind of applies, because here Jesus describes who he is. He says he's the Son of God. And then after that, he says he's the bread of life. And then he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And then, of course, the disciples didn't know what he was talking about, because this is before the Last Supper. It's before the Eucharist, before the resurrection. And here Jesus is talking about people needing to eat his flesh and blood. And they don't know the context of it. But when they come to him and they say, Lord, this is hard. Who can accept it? Who can understand it? And many of the people were leaving. Jesus just kind of looks at his disciples and says, it is what it is. I mean, he doesn't chase them down. He doesn't over-explain. He just kind of says, this is how it is. And you can either take it or leave it. It's an interesting thing that Jesus doesn't kind of take that explanation and qualify it. He just kind of says, nope, this is what it is. Well, hopefully over the last few weeks, you know a little bit more about why things are the way that they are. We talked about the historical, the biblical, the theological, the liturgical aspects of the Eucharist. So hopefully you've got a little bit more of an understanding of that. And so this week, I just want to talk a little bit more about how we apply it. Because it's one thing to know something intellectually. It's another thing to say, okay, well, how do we put this into action? How do we put this into practice? And that's what I want to focus on a little bit for today. So the first way is through prayer. And prayer is something that, as I mentioned last week, when we see the Mass, that it's one big, long, perfect, sacred prayer from the beginning of the opening song to the end of the closing song, that it's all one big, long, perfect prayer. But we have a part in that. It's not that the prayer happens and we just kind of sit back and wait for it to have an effect, that we're supposed to bring ourselves to that. And prayer is the way that we do that. But to be honest, it doesn't really only happen here. Hopefully, we've got a life of prayer that continues after Mass and will begin before Mass. One way that I like to prepare, and hopefully all you prepare, is before we come to Mass that we pray. And the U.S. Catholic bishops have a website, and you can go on that website and you can look at the readings that we're going to hear at Mass. It has a calendar. All you need to do is do U.S. Catholic bishops website and then go to the readings. And you'll see all the readings that we have daily as well as the weekend and Sunday readings. And a good way to prepare is to read those readings and to consider what they say to you, what questions you might have. What stands out, but to prepare for the reading so that when you hear them, you've got something you've brought to church. And also, it helps you to be able to think about, well, how might I be able to respond to the readings that I'm going to hear at Mass this morning? In addition to that, just scripture reading in general, the more familiar we become with the Bible, the more that the liturgy of the word really starts to take root and to really come alive. And so I do want to encourage you all to take your Bible reading and your preparation for Mass seriously in that way. Also, show up a little early if you can. I know that we're Americans and it's like, well, 9 o'clock, boom, I'm here. You know, but it's good to be a little early. It kind of gives you a little bit, settle down a little bit, get rid of any worries or preoccupations or any of the busyness or the anxiety or whatever you might have, and just spend a little quiet time before Mass preparing for what you are going to enter into, and that helps as well. While we're at Mass, it's a great time to pray. And I know you're all saying, well, I do pray at Mass. Well, yeah, but if you're like me, it's easy to get distracted, and sometimes we lose focus. So while we're at Mass, we can kind of set our intentions and say, okay, I'm going to really try to pay attention to what I'm hearing, to really be attentive to that. When it's time for me to pray, I'm going to pray. When it's time for me to respond, I'm going to respond. When it's time to sing, I'm going to pick up my books, open it up, and sing. I really want to enter into the prayer of the Mass and not just take it passively, but really put myself into it. It's like a lot of things in life. What we get out of something has a large degree, it's determined on what we put into it. So really try to be intentional about your prayer when you're at Mass. And then after Mass, spend a little time reflecting. Say, okay, what is it that I heard today that I might want to apply? Ask the Lord to reveal to you what you need to work on or what you need to be grateful for, what you need to allow God to do in your own life. So those are all ways that we can be people of prayer, to bring that prayer into the Mass in the celebration of the Eucharist, and it's something we offer God. All right, something else that we can offer, it's the action afterwards, because we're not just passively receiving the Mass. The point is that we're supposed to receive it and then put it into practice in some way or another. And so I remember when I was a kid, my brother and I would be in the back seat of the car, and usually by the time we got home, or often, I shouldn't say usually, but a lot of times, even before we got home, we were fighting. And we'd be hitting each other and doing all the, and then all of a sudden, Mom and Dad get mad, and then they're yelling at us, we're yelling at each other, and just acting really uncharitably. Well, obviously, we aren't putting into practice what the Mass is intended to do. That after we leave church, we should be deliberately trying to live out what the Mass is all about. That means it's sacrificial. It means it's charitable. It means it's about forgiveness. It's about the way we treat others. It's about the way we see ourselves. It's about the way we bring ourselves to our God. One way to look at it is, if we've received communion, we've received the Word of God, we're transformed and converted to a larger degree, we should be able to bring that out into the world, into our world, our family, and the people that we interact with. It's just a way of extending what we're doing at the Mass, at the celebration of the Eucharist, allowing that action to be something that is lived out on a daily basis. So we leave on Sunday and we spend the week trying to live out the action of the teachings and the examples that we receive at Mass, and then we come back to be once again remotivated and re-energized and recharged so that we can continue the process and the cycle. So it's about putting our faith into practice, putting the teachings of Jesus into action, and putting Him, as we receive Him, into action so that He can do what He wants to do through us in the world. And so our action is important. There's two other aspects I want to talk about that we have at Mass that maybe people don't fully understand. One is forgiveness. And the very beginning of the Mass, when we begin, we have what we call the penitential rite. And with Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. And then may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. So we say that because we received forgiveness from the Lord in that penitential rite. In addition to that, we also have, during the Eucharist itself, the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. You know, so there is forgiveness that happens here at Mass. We should be receiving that forgiveness and understanding that. When people sometimes will question, it's like, well, when do I go to confession and when do I not? And I don't have time to go into the details here, but in general, the lesser sins or the venial sins, those are forgiven at Mass. Now, still from time to time, we should go to confession, even if we only have venial sins, but we don't need to obsess about the venial sins on a weekly basis when we're coming to Mass and receiving that forgiveness through the sacrifice of the Mass and through the penitential rite. If we have mortal sins, those are the really serious ones, Ten Commandments, we know they're wrong, they're serious, and we do it anyway. Those ones we have to confess at the soonest opportunity. But in general, if we don't have a mortal sin that we're dealing with, we should come to Mass and receive that forgiveness so that we can enter fully into it and receive that forgiveness during Mass in our prayer. Also, another area to look at is the healing that happens at Mass. Only say the word and my soul shall be healed. You know, we say that before we come up and receive communion. As we know in the Gospels, that Jesus, when he heals someone, he forgives them. And when he forgives them, he heals them. That there's a healing process that takes place here at the Mass. And it's through prayer, it's through the Eucharist, it's through the Word of God. But there's a true healing that happens if we're open to it and we invite the Lord to do that in us. Sometimes it's psychological, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's spiritual. But all of us need healing one way or another. And so when we come to Mass, hopefully we're open to that so that the Lord can do what he wants to do in our lives with our forgiving and our healing. So what you may have noticed is that there's two parts to this. One is what we give, what we offer, and that is through our prayer and through our action. The other part is what we receive through the forgiveness and the healing. And when we put those all together, you can see that this give and take relationship that we have when it comes to our Lord is very relational. And that relational aspect of the celebration of the Eucharist is who we are as people of faith. And so as we've heard over the last 4 weeks, that great teaching of the Lord, where he is the bread of life, he invites us to have a share in that. He gives us life, he gives us forgiveness, he gives us his very life, so that we would be able to bring that into our own lives and to offer it into the lives of others. And so many people may not understand that, but our response can very simply be, well, it is what it is. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.